When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, it's the Mike Calter Show.
.905 of the Mike Calter Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Carmen, please bring back to the show the great Don Felder, who I totally screwed up. Mr. Felder, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm sorry about that confusion. I thought this was tomorrow, but I'm so glad it's today. It's great to have you on the show. Florida's own Don Felder. Am I correct in reading that you went to Woodstock when you were a kid?
I did. I was one of the few people that actually, when I asked the crowd that, raised my hand. I'm one of the only people in the crowd a lot of times. But yeah, I spent all 3 days there. We saw just the most amazing American talent in the history of rock and roll.
How did you get there at the time?
Well, I lived not far from that particular place, and a friend of mine had a Travelall, which was the predecessor to the Suburban, and it had barn doors on the back of it, and we put a mattress in the back, an ice chest for food, tons of water, some blankets and stuff like that. And we got there the day before it actually opened, and we backed in while they were still building the stage. We were able to stay inside the truck when it was raining and open the doors and still watch the show. So it was just amazing. It was a memory of a lifetime to have been there.
So I've been to a couple of festivals locally here. Like, you know, I've been there as a fan and as a radio person. And I've also been to the later Woodstock. And there's something about just being a part of that, even though my Woodstock was nothing like your Woodstock, being a part of that big deal and all these great artists and something. But then you go on to be an artist that has people camping out to go to their shows. I mean, that's got to be such a great full circle feeling for you.
It's amazing, actually, to tell you the truth. You know, to be part of something like Woodstock, nothing has ever happened since then. As a matter of fact, there's a line in Hotel California that says, there hasn't been this spirit here since 1969.
Yeah.
Nothing has happened on the world of that magnitude for rock and roll before. So to actually be there, and I was standing in the crowd watching, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young came out and played, and I had been at a band with Stephen Stills when we were 14. And I was like, wait a minute, what is he doing up there? He had left Gainesville and moved to Florida, and the next thing I know, he's on the stage at Woodstock. So it is a wonderful feeling to have been on one side of it and then to have the opportunity to be on the other side of the stage.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I don't know what's more annoying. And don't get me wrong, I like the Eagles and all that, but fans, when it comes to fans, oof, Eagles fans, Jimmy Buffett fans, Dave Matthews fans, they're a special breed of people.
Yeah, you know, thank God. I really appreciate the fact that they'd appreciate so much what we have done and written and recorded over the last 50 years. I mean, some of these songs are 50 years old, and they're still playing them on the radio. People still download them. They come out to concerts. I have to tell you, though, I have the most amazing band. I have, over the last 25 years, put together the absolute best musicians, singers, players that I can find. I mean, they are the creme de la creme. These guys have played with people like Carrie Underwood and Keith Urban and Kenny Chesney, Sting, Chicago, Peter Frampton, Billy Joel, Bad Company, Adam Lambert, Dave Matthews, Katy Perry, on and on and on and on. The list of credits these players have is phenomenal. And I would never walk out on a stage without presenting the absolute best possible band I could put together. By the end of the night, we have this section of songs at the end that starts with, like, The Long Run, then it goes Take It Easy, Life in the Fast Lane, Heartache Tonight, Hotel California. Everybody in the place is up on their feet, dancing, got their cell phones out, filming Hotel California. It's just a really great, fun party, and we love doing that. Everybody walks out saying, That was amazing. And that's exactly why I worked so hard to put together the best human band possible.
Well, that you're afforded that because of the time that you put in rock and roll history, that you're able to say, hey, I want to work with the best guys, and you're able to do that. So I'm glad that you're doing that and going on the road. And I mean, as you get older, do you see any end to it? Are you like, I think I'm one more year and I'm out? Or are you going to be like, I'm going to keep doing it until I can't do it anymore?
I'm going to rock till I drop.
Yeah.
I mean, right in the middle of some solo, I may go down. Who knows? I'm going to be enjoying it right to the last bar, you know?
Yeah, I don't blame you. That'd be one of the greatest endings in rock and roll history, too. We're talking to the great Don Felder. Don Felder's going to be at Ruth Eckert Hall tomorrow night along with Pablo Cruz and Firefall. It'll be a great show. That's all hits from all those bands. And I have to tell you, which I'm sure you get all the time, is that we actually talked about it this morning where I mentioned you were going to be on the show, is that Eagles documentary, whether you're an Eagles fan or not, is one of the greatest documentaries ever made. It gave me an idea of what it was like to be a musician back in the day and all the garbage that you guys go through and the infighting. But I'll tell you, though, the infighting was some of the most interesting stuff in that documentary.
I think that happens in every band. It's just a struggle for power, a struggle for creativity. Who's going to be in charge? Who's calling the shots? Who's singing the latest hits? It happens in every band. And the longer we did it and the more abusive we were with alcohol and drugs and working ourselves just down to the bone, the harder it got. Bernie Ledden, which was my high school buddy, we were in a band together in high school, said, we need to just take 2 months. Everybody go somewhere, go to Hawaii, relax, get some sun, sober up, just get clean and healthy, and let's go back at it. And Don and Glenn said, no, we've got this thing going. We got to just keep pushing this uphill. And so Bernie literally walked out of the studio in the middle of one of these nights and got on a plane and went to Hawaii. And we were like, oh, well, I guess we're going to take a break for a while. And we kept going in the studio, and he came back and joined the last tour he was on, which was the One of These Nights tour. And he just was not going to risk his health. And he was a very wise guy. I think if you look at it like the Rolling Stones, they go out and tour the whole world. Then they take 2 or 3 years off, and you know, they enjoy life and they refresh. And I don't know if they give up drugs and alcohol off the road or not, but they pace themselves, and they keep coming back every 2, 3, 4, 5 years and do another tour, and they're still going. So who knows?
There are two things that made me, there's a documentary that made me really dislike Glenn Frey. I felt like he was a bully, and I didn't, I'm not saying I don't appreciate his musical talent. And then I heard a story, which is local, where a guy that I know is in the music business had a guitar, and it was signed over years by individual members of the Eagles. And Glenn Frey was the last one on the guitar. You had already signed it. And he had heard that Glenn Frey was such a dick, he wouldn't sign a guitar that had your signature on it. So he had to cover your signature with a sticker in order to get the guitar signed. That's such a douchey move.
Well, you know, Glenn had his quirk. God bless him. God rest him. He really was the main leader of this band. It was his baby. He was the front singer and songwriter, sang the first hits like Take It Easy and Peace Feel Easy and all those great classics. It was really his band. And him and Henley were amazing. They were the Lennon McCartney of America to me, that wrote so many great hit songs together that I have nothing but ultimate respect for Glenn. All said and done, I salute him.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was saying this morning to Galvin, I said, do you think he's glad that Glenn Frey died? I'm going to ask him, but evidently not. You seem like you made peace with it.
I've made peace with the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I wrote a book called My Life in the Eagles, Heaven and Hell, and it was started out as a every morning meditating about how I'd gotten from a little dirt road in Gainesville, Florida, at a white clapboard house that I grew up in, to being in one of the biggest bands and being catapulted into astronomical fame and fortune and a major lifestyle change. Yeah. And at the same time, when that ended, the same year, I got divorced from my wife of 29 years. So my life was just completely taken to the heights and then just dismantled. And I had to rebuild my life, which is what I've been doing for, since 2001.
You can't be famous at that level and have a successful marriage. I mean, so many people pretend that they're pulling it off, but I mean, I've seen, you know, I've seen what rock stars go through and how they're it's just thrown at them all the time. And it must be so hard to be married.
Yeah, you know, especially the Eagles were on the road about 11 months out of the year. And that's, there was no cell phones, there was no, later in the 90s we could fax back and forth to each other, to my kids, and draw little pictures for them and stuff, but there was still a way to communicate. And so it was really hard being gone that much. As a matter of fact, when the Eagles stopped in 1980, I had offers after I put out Heavy Metal to go out and tour with my own band. And I went, nope, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to be Mr. Mom. I'm going to be a soccer coach. I'm going to drive carpool. I'm going to make breakfast for my kids in the morning. And I did that for about 10 years before I really decided to put it all back together with the Eagles in 1994 and then for Hell Freezes Over. But I really enjoyed having that part of my life free again to spend with my kids while they were growing up.
How old were your kids in 94, approximately?
I think Leah, my youngest one, was about 8 or 9 at the time. And it was funny because Joe Walsh's daughter and my daughter, Leah, became best friends on the road during Hell Freezes Over. But they were... I'd leave them in the room and they could order room service and I'd come back up and there'd be every dessert on the menu in their bedroom. They were just having a ball, you know, having a great time. And so it was great to have them out with us. And my other kids, my oldest son, Jesse, who was probably, I think he must have been 21 or 22, was actually working on the crew for one summer and Hell Freezes Over. And he would come up and play sax because he was a great sax player, great guitar player, but he also played sax. And he would play sax on The Heat Is On. So it was great to have my kids there experiencing walking out on a stage in a stadium and seeing what it was like to feel walking out in front of 80,000 people in a stadium. And it was great.
My question is, when did your kids, did they know you were cool at that point, or were you just dad? Like, I struggle so hard to make my kids realize that I'm cool, and they don't seem to see it at all, but you're in the Eagles.
We don't really see it either.
Yeah, but I mean, for Felder, they probably saw it.
I think when they finally got to see Hell Freezes Over and realized what it was that I'd been doing, you know, since I was 10 years old, growing to that level of success, they really appreciated it.
My son,
the one that worked on the road that summer, I had them hire him and put him in the crew. And I said, you make him the first one on the deck and the last one back in the bus. I want you to work him hard. At the end of that summer, he said, Dad, you know, I learned something really important. I said, what was that? He said, the people with the highest refined skills make the most money and have the easiest job. And the people with the least skill work the hardest and work the least, make the least amount of money. I said, that was a great lesson you learned that summer. So he went back to school, got straight A's for the rest of college.
And he also learned management. So, he also learned Dad was cheap and could have just gave him money on the side. Totally made him work for it.
That's right. I had a rule with my kids in the summer. They grew up in Malibu, and typically during the summer, everybody's hanging out with the surfboard and smoking weed and all this stuff you don't want your kids doing when they're young. So I required them to either go to a camp, get a job, or go to summer school. Now, my son decided one summer he wanted to go to summer school in college. So I said, okay, that's fine, whatever you want to do. Turns out he chose to go to the University of Hawaii, and he took stuff like paddleboarding.
That kid's a genius.
Beat the system.
That is great.
He got me on that one.
Go see the great Don Felder tomorrow night at Ruth Eckert Hall, 7 o'clock. You also got Firefall, and you got Pablo Cruz. It's all great genre of music right there, great hits from decades, and of course they'll wrap it up with all your Eagles favorites. Sorry about the confusion earlier, but I'm glad we got to talk to you today, and I hope you have a great show at Ruth Eckert Hall.
Thanks, Mike. If you come down to the show, please come backstage and say hello so I can thank you with a personal handshake for doing this for me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you. The great Don Felder. Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go.
There you go. That's a legend. I mean, to be in the rock and roll business as long as I was reading this story, he really was a dirt poor kid in Gainesville. And him and Stephen Sills were buddies when they were young. Imagine they showing up at Woodstock and they're like, I know that dude.
Yeah, I think he knew Tom Petty too.
Yeah.
He was younger
as
well. Gainesville.
Yeah, that's such a good story to get somebody that was dirt poor in the, you know, white trash Florida and end up doing it the right way and becoming a huge superstar.
The good thing about Don Felder is he's the right amount of fame. Where if you know the Eagles and you know him and you go, oh, holy crap, that's Don Felder. But I'm sure he walks into a lot of places where people don't know him and it's just some rich dude, you know, that they're not sure what he does.
Right. I was in a hotel in New York one time and a lot of the guys from Earth, Wind & Fire and Billy Joel's band were staying there when they played the Madison Square Garden shows. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was surrounded by a lot of talented guys with money, but I didn't know who anybody was. Like finally I saw the guys from Earth, Wind & Fire, the main guys, and I realized who they were. And then I saw the guitar player for Billy Joel, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here.
I was talking to Steve Byrne when we were on the cruise, when he did Sullivan & Son, and we were on there as guest stars.
Superstar.
That I was waiting for a scene where I was coming in, and I go over to the payphone, and I'm standing back there, and I look over, and I look at this guy, and we kind of make eye contact, and I point at him, and I'm like, are you Dave Kushner? And he's like, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I remember, yeah.
Dave Kushner, the guitar player from Velvet Revolver, you know, which maybe not a lot of people recognize because you're in a band with Slash, you know, and Duff and all those guys, whatever, but he did the music for the thing. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think he was surprised cool. that I recognized him.
Yeah, we talked to him. We hung out with him for a little bit after the show. He was a good dude. All right, well, there you go, the great Don Felder. Sorry I screwed up that interview. I thought it was tomorrow, but it was today, so it worked out perfect. Let's take a quick break. It's a Mike Calta show. This is 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to The Mike Calta Show. Now, a bone traffic update from the Farrah and Farrah personal injury attorney.